begin tonight with a scripture reading from James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. This is God's holy word. Please give attention. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. Now turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, which is the passage where we will be preaching from. Again, this is God's holy and infallible word. Please give attention. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens and cries out from the highest palaces of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Drop down to verse 13. The New King James reads, a foolish woman is clamorous. But the New American Standard and some of the other translations, and I think probably more accurately, read, the woman folly. The woman folly is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest palaces of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear, and as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word tonight, we ask that you would give us understanding, that our hearts would be good soil, and that we would bear fruit. We pray, Father, for ears to hear and feet and hands, Lord, that we put your word into practice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I come across a statement that seems to affect me profoundly in my reading. And I end up meditating on it, and it kind of forces me to realize that I need to change my life. I need to adjust myself because of this new truth that I've run into. Many years ago, while I was attending Covenant Seminary, I came across such a statement. I was reading a book, and the author had a very powerful statement in there, at least to me. It said, those who don't read, don't lead. And I began to think about that, well, the ramifications of it, the ins and outs of it. And at the time, I really wasn't much of a reader. I read my assignment. I did what was required of me. And that was really it. As far as I was concerned, I did read. I thought I read plenty, and that was good enough. However, the more I thought about this statement, the more I began to see the point the writer was trying to make. And his point was simply this. One should expose oneself to as many great minds as possible, to as many great ideas from other Christians and other leaders as possible. Great leaders are learners. They realize that they don't have the answer to all of life's problems and to all of life's questions. They understand that they don't know it all, so they purposefully expose themselves to other gifts that God had given to the church through great thinkers. Reading a good book is very similar to sitting down and having a cup of coffee with C.S. Lewis or Burkhoff, men and women that you would never have an opportunity to meet in person. And so to have that opportunity to read their writings, I've really come to realize that that is such a great joy and such a great blessing. Since encountering that little phrase, "those who don't read don't lead," I have become a lover of books. And I understand that if you don't expose yourself to other ideas, you really can't lead because you don't know what's out there. And reading does that for you. That's one of the reasons I believe that we do have books. People tend to turn to the passage in Solomon about the writing of books, you know, and how it knows no end and it's all vanity and vanity. It can be. There's no question about that. Books that expand my ability to lead, I want access to. I want access to those books that give me the ability to become the man that God has called me to be. And I think that we all should desire to expand our knowledge, expand our gifts and our abilities and our understanding. Because of my love for reading, I believe that I've been influenced by some of the greatest minds the church has produced. C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, John Calvin, George Washington Carver, and many, 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 many others. When the writer said, "those who don't lead," or rather, "don't read, don't lead," he meant that people who are not readers do not avail themselves of all that God has for them. I shudder to think where our children are getting their ideas from. People with names like P. Diddy, Little Kim, Kid Rock, Janet and Michael Jackson. These are the people who are forming, shaping the minds of many young people today because they're exposing themselves over and over and over again to the lifestyle, to the ideas, to the concepts, the way these people live their lives. Many of our young people are taking it in. The scripture that we're going to look at tonight is going to show us that there are two women after you and your children. And you have heard this night as I read. The two women are wisdom and folly. Wisdom and foolishness. And they are both standing and calling out to you, your children, your spouse, everyone in your household. Before we look at the text, I think it's important to define our terms, and the best way to define them is to allow the scriptures to do that. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, we are told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So true wisdom begins with a proper relationship with God. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we see that biblical wisdom is having a reverence for God. And if knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, that means that the more I know God, the greater my ability to walk in His ways. And where I learn of Him is in scriptures and in the writings of others who have walked closely with Him. I remember the prophet Hosea in Hosea 4, verse 6. When he says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because they rejected knowledge," he's speaking for God. "I will reject your children." There's an unbreakable connection between wisdom and knowledge, and between right living. But I want you to notice something about these two women, wisdom and folly. Both of them have a house. In verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. In verse 14, we find that the woman folly, she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest palaces, or rather places, of the city. Both of them have built a house, and a house is symbolic of your lifestyle. If you recall in the scriptures, in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is, where Jesus talks about the wise man who built his house, his life on the solid rock, and the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The house is often used as a metaphor for one's lifestyle, for one's life, period, the way you live your life. And these two women are seated and calling out as individuals go by. But wisdom, notice, has built her house to last. She has hewn out her pillars. Wisdom has taken the time to make sure that the house will stand. That when difficult times come, when the wind blows, when the category 3, 4, 5 hurricanes of life come in, the house will be standing when the storm passes. There is no such concern regarding the woman's folly. Notice also that both of them offer a meal to those who are passing by. In verse 2, referring to wisdom, she has slaughtered her meat, she has mixed her wine, she also furnished her table. The woman folly, in verse 17, this is her idea of a good meal. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There's no sense of the individual being a special guest. But there's a sneaking around under the cloak of darkness, getting a charge, an adrenaline charge, because bread eaten in secret is sweet. You get a charge out of that just seeing if you can get away with it. All throughout the day, especially, this refers to all of us, but I think especially for young people, those of you who are in college and high school, all throughout the day, there is the voice of wisdom and the voice of the woman folly calling out to you. When you turn your radio on, the voice of the woman wisdom or folly, one or the other is calling out to you. The question is, who is speaking into your ears? Who is getting your attention, causing you to stare? Is it wisdom, the ways of righteousness, the things of God? Or is it folly, foolishness, the woman who will bring about destruction? It is the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the biblical definition of a fool. One who says there is no God, I'll live my life any way I want to. And so the woman folly calls out, trying to get the people of God to deviate from the road that the Lord has placed you and I upon. They both offer a meal. Wisdom's meal is well prepared with care. It's a feast. It's an intimate fellowship. Folly's is stolen. She offers excitement of the forbidden. The lure of the sensual. Proverbs 20, verse 17. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. His point there is that everything comes with a cost. There is sowing and reaping in life. You will reap what you sow. That is promised to us in the scriptures. Thirdly, notice that both of these women issue a call. In verse 3, the woman wisdom, she has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Verse 14, she sits. This is the woman folly. She sits at the door of the city by the highest places. That's her invitation. She's sitting at the door of her house, in verse 15, to call to those who pass by. There is no dignity there. Look at the picture. One, wisdom, the image, the picture is she sent out maidens, sending out special invitations. Come, there is a meal that has been prepared for you. That's dignity. That is treating you with the utmost respect. Folly sits by the side of the doorway, And we used to have people like this in our neighborhood, so I know this. So she sits by the side of the door and she goes, "Hey, come on over here. Yes, yes, you, get over here. Come now." The woman wisdom doesn't act that way. You see, foolishness presents itself in a very negative way. And acts as though she has something to offer you. But she has nothing to offer you but death. Foolishness is everything that is outside of God. It's outside of His Word. It's outside of His teaching. And so when you're listening to that call that is daily coming to you through every book that you pick up, through every time you turn your radio on, through every TV station, through friends, through family, wisdom is calling or folly is calling. And they're calling for you constantly. Two women. It's interesting that Scripture uses this picture of these two women, because I think that you need to realize that wisdom is found in all kinds of places. But you have to have your eyes open. God is speaking. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so if your heart is in the right place and your eyes are open, then wisdom calls. If your heart is in the wrong place, if you're looking for difficulty or trouble, then it's folly who calls, and she sits by the doorway yelling out. I have a 20-year-old daughter who doesn't even like to go to the gas station to gas up her car. But she has to, because she's a single young woman. But to go to the gas station in certain parts of the city where she lives is to subject yourself to catcalls. I've never quite figured out why a guy would think that a girl would respond to that kind of behavior. Yet there are guys out there who do it, and there are girls who respond to it. There's no dignity there. There's no respect. And so a woman who responds to that kind of beckoning should not be surprised when the guy turns out to be a jerk. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. The woman folly prostitutes herself. She stands on the corner trying to wave down a customer. Wisdom, however, sends out official invitations. For wisdom, you are more than a slab of meat. Satan does not care about you. He doesn't care if you're Buddhist, if you're an atheist, if you're a Satan worshiper, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you're a Mormon, as long as you are not a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. That's all he cares about. And he will do what he can to turn and to deter you. Fourthly, notice that they're also after the same people. In verse 4, it says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come and eat of my bread.'" Wisdom is calling for the simple and those who need understanding. Verse 16, "Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Stolen water is sweet.'" Calling to the same people, two different offers. They're after the same people. So you are not immune, brothers and sisters, to temptation. You are not immune to the call of the wild, to the distractions of the evil one. That is why it's necessary to stay close to the Lord, to stay in His Word. 5. They can be found in the same places. Again, verse 3. She has sent out her maiden. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Verse 14, for folly. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the what? Highest places of the city. You'll find foolishness and wisdom in the same places. There's no place where you can go to get away from foolishness. There are places where you can go where foolishness reigns. But you can't get away from it. It's always there. Notice in 6, the meal is different. In verse 2, she has slaughtered her meat, she's mixed her wine, she's furnished her table. That sounds like a feast to me. Sounds like a lot of work and effort has gone into it. In verse 17, the woman folly, it's stolen. And seven, the results of dining with each one is different. And verse 6, she says, forsake the foolishness and live. This is wisdom. And go in the way of understanding. If you eat the meal that wisdom has prepared for you, you will end up forsaking the ways of darkness and forsaking the foolishness of this world and live, and you'll be able to go and walk in the way of understanding. In verse 18, there's a whole different picture for sitting down and eating with the woman folly. The outcome is that he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell or Sheol. Choices are before us constantly. And remember, the book of Proverbs is written by a father trying to educate, at least the first part of it, trying to educate his son to the ways and the dangers of the world. To say to him, son, you've got to constantly be on the lookout because life is constantly trying to throw you a curve and constantly trying to draw you in. You've got to be on your guard. Sometimes it can be so subtle. My sister-in-law she has a hobby. And her husband is actually quite proud of her. But she is an amateur bodybuilder. And so she competes in these amateur bodybuilding events. They hold one in St. Louis annually. And so she called us up this past spring, informed us that she was going to be coming, and we said, well, great, we haven't seen you guys in a long time, you can stay in the house with us. And she said, okay, that sounds good, and we'll get you guys, I can get you a couple of free tickets, you can come down and see the show. And I said, okay, oh, that's fine, okay, all right, we'll see you when you get here. And I hung up the phone, and I thought, what in the name of Sam Hill did I just say? And I emailed her back. I said, I have no business sitting in a female bodybuilding contest. I said, you're welcome to stay at our home. You're welcome to be here and fellowship with our family. But when you go off to compete, we're not going with you. It turned out that they weren't able to make the trip. But it's subtle. It's subtle, brothers and sisters. There's always something out there that's tugging at you. And so it's necessary that we stay with the Lord, that we stay close to Him, that we trust in Him, that we're constantly asking Him for wisdom. And as He said in James, He will give it. But we have to trust Him and believe that He will give it. In Proverbs chapter 7, verses 32 to 36, we find these words. There is no 32 in Proverbs chapter 7. I have no idea what I wrote that down for, so we will skip over that. But in closing, what I want to do is I just want to encourage you that you need to keep your ears open and you need to keep your heart focused on the Lord, because it's always opportunity for wisdom and always opportunities for learning, always opportunities for growing closer to the Lord. And one of the ways that happens is what you expose yourself to. What are you exposing yourself to? When you turn on that television, what are you exposing yourself to? In your reading, your music, what are you exposing yourself to? Is it wisdom or is it folly? One of the things that I do want to close with, and I think I got this scripture down here, and it's Luke 11, verse 49. We were talking about wisdom earlier. And refers to Jesus himself as the embodiment of wisdom. Scripture reads, for this reason, the wisdom of God said, and then it goes on to quote the scriptures, and the wisdom of God is Jesus that it's referring to. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The voice that you hear calling you into deeper wisdom and deeper understanding and a deeper walk, it is the voice of the Lord himself who desires to be with his people and to see us grow and to prosper. That's the voice that we need to listen to. And the voice comes from a lot of different places, through people that we love, through the scriptures. It can come from a lot of different places, sometimes from surprising places. But the Lord wants you to succeed, and that's why he left you this book, which is our main source of wisdom. Our main source. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom, who is Jesus. We thank you for your word and the warning that we are constantly being bombarded, constantly being lured from dark forces, forces that would want to see us fail, forces that would want to see us fall on our face. We thank you that your Spirit lives and dwells within us, and he enables us to trust you, to walk with you. And I pray that tonight, through the power of your Spirit, we would heed the voice of the woman wisdom and not the voice of the woman folly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.